Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. A difficult but necessary discussion this week on the show, Paul, looking at what do we do when we find ourselves disabled or incapacitated in some way? What kind of documents do we need? Who's going to help us? So forth and so on.
Yeah, it was. We're picking up a discussion from last week, so you can head over to legacyandfaith.com. There is a first part of this discussion already uploaded on the website, so you can download that and kind of get some of the background. But briefly, what we're really talking about is at some point in time, if I need assistance from somebody, and that's a very, very broad statement, of course, but I don't know why you need assistance. But something has gone wrong in your life to where you can't make medical decisions, financial decisions. Something is happening, whether it's a health incident, physical, mental. There's so many different scenarios.
Got in an accident.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It could be temporary. Mm-hmm. So that's a very good point. It could be for a month or two. So if I fell down leaving the studio today, hit my head on the sidewalk, and I needed 6 months to recover, well, that's a temporary type of time. But it could be that we're having memory problems already, or we're caretaking a family member where we're watching the memory issues become more and more severe. And we need to assist them now what appears to be for a much longer period of time. And so this is our discussion, and it's not a happy one. It's really not a joyful, hey, let's get into God's word and get all encouraged in the word. This is really where the rubber meets the road, actually, in estate planning, to be honest. This is the real deal. We mentioned last show that dying is easy. I can work out a probate. I can get bank accounts, houses, financial accounts to the right people in the right way. But boy, if we're having health incidences where we need assistance, then this is the difficult part in life. And it's really difficult for the person who needs the assistance to find a place to where they are willing to admit. And the more we talk about this, the more prepared that we are, what I have seen is the more quickly someone is willing to relinquish their power and accept the necessary help. And it's the individuals who haven't done any planning, who don't have these conversations, because when they're in the emergency, they know they haven't done anything. They know that they haven't communicated what's going to happen. And so therefore, there is insecurity abounds in that circumstance. Mm-hmm. And that's the difficulty. So much like my last call last week was, do estate planning, please. This is not just something to take lightly. This is why we do estate planning. Yes, we're all going to meet our maker, and this shell on earth is going to pass, and we're going to have to clean up the assets. But this is the difficult part right here.
So how difficult is it then, and how often is it received? I mean, a lot of times people, you're saying they have insecurities because they know maybe they haven't prepared properly. But it's difficult for the family member, for instance, or the spouse to confront, what's the word, not confront, but suggest that, Mom, I need the keys. You know,
yeah.
I don't think you should be driving anymore, or you seem to be losing your memory. And these are difficult subjects to broach with
people.
They're
extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. Yes. And again, I believe that we're created in God's image, and that God is a God who is in control and powerful, and we have been created to demonstrate those attributes of who he is. So therefore, giving up control is a huge deal.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's like a whole different topic compared to this side of it. But so I wish I had a magic wand that I could just wave and say, okay, everybody, this is the magic road, because we're all created so differently that there is no magic wand. But this is what I have seen, is that if you have prepared, if you have had a strong conversation with your attorney of the decisions to make and the reasons of why this person is in charge, it becomes easier for the whole family. And so, number one, do estate planning. But we left last week's show also with different types of mental incapacitation. And I want to pick that up just for a moment because it's really a big deal, which is there's not one streaming definition for incapacitation that will cover the board for every situation that we have. It doesn't exist. Okay. And so therefore, we listed different types of capacity issues that we may face in our lifetime. So let me review those really quick. Number one is that you may be in a hospital or needing to make a medical decision, and doctors are concerned that you cannot appreciate the decision or the long-term effects of that decision. So therefore, they may deem you for medical purposes to not be able to participate, or they want another voice. Of course, they're always going to want your participation in a holistic scheme, but they're going to want other voices to make that decision.
If you're comatose or,
yeah, you know. That's right. Yeah, that's the obvious one is that you can't.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. And so we need medical powers of attorney for that. Now, there's contract capacity, and that's a different type of capacity. You have to understand and appreciate the nature and consequence of what you are signing. So that could be a car lease. That could be entering into a contract to get your home remodeled, and many different contracts that we go through just in normal life. And so that is a different capacity. There's a different capacity for standing trial. And I didn't look this one up because I'm not a trial attorney, and it's an area that really doesn't come across my practice very often. But criminal attorneys specifically would use this standard to make a determination of whether a defendant could appreciate the nature of what they were doing.
Or is not guilty by reason of insanity?
Yeah, that's right.
That's a little different, but...
Yeah, but all of this, then, is that we understand that that is a different definition just to... be able to go through a legal process if you're a defendant. There is a different definition for estate planning. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. And then there is yet another one if we are determining, or if a court specifically is determining, whether or not you need a guardianship. And so all of these different capacity issues need to be addressed. And we need to have different documents that allow us to express these types of capacities. That's why we have so many different documents, is because there's so many different definitions. I can't make one document and fit the bill for everything. Unfortunately, I think it's unfortunate. I know that there are templates out there. If you went online and tried to do your own estate planning, please don't do it. But if you did, there are some documents specifically in Washington that combine a single definition for medical decisions and contract decisions and guardianship decisions. But yet I just told you that those are different definitions, but yet they only use one. And so therefore, is that a problem? And in my humble view, the answer is absolutely, because one definition can't cover everything. They are looking for different things at different times. And we talked briefly about the medical issues. So medical determinations are really using a specific test. There's a simple test. There's a test that they use called the MCAT test. It's a MacArthur competency test, and that is a deeper, probably a 20 to 30 minute test that really tries to look at different types of areas to determine whether or not you are able to appreciate what decision the doctors are trying to get you to make. And so these different tests then on the medical side are really not trying to determine estate planning competency, contract competency. They are again trying to determine whether or not you can participate, or whether they should go ahead and act based upon your instructions for a medical decision. And so oftentimes...
That you've already set up ahead of time, hopefully with the contract.
Well, but that's the problem, is that sometimes we don't have estate planning, right? Which is action number one always. Right, do estate planning, please. And so, but even if you do have the definition, yes, they have to have some reasonable guide to say, we did this, it fit the definition of the power of attorney, so therefore we can then look to another person, a spouse, a child, a sibling, a best friend, whoever you've named, to make that medical decision, okay? And so in the medical field, and unfortunately what happens a lot of times is that that competency test then gets utilized as a bridge over all the other competencies. And yet that's not what it was designed for. So one of the simple tests, the mini mental state examination, the MMSE, is utilized in a very quick way at hospitals to see, well, should we even take another step in determining mental incapacitation? Here are some of the questions. Well, what year is it? What season? What's the date?
Who's
what
the
month
president?
Is it? Yeah, these types of things, right? So in other words, we want to quickly assess what, if you have your bearings about just where we are today. You know, what state, county, town, what hospital are you in? What floor are you on? Then it says the examiner names three unrelated objects. And the patient is supposed to then recall those three unrelated objects, okay? Computer monitor, tacos, law. Okay, and so we're supposed to be able to recall those. Here's a fun one. I don't know if I can do this even right now half the time, which is count backwards from starting at 100 by sevens.
Right, yeah.
And so... So great. Now I have to use math. What is the, spell world backwards, or what are the three things that I told you 5 minutes ago? Can you recall those three things? Repeat the phrase, no ifs, ands, or buts. Okay. So this is what the medical world uses. Now, a couple questions really quick. And again, this is not pointing the finger at anyone in the medical profession. I promise it's not. Number one, what if you're really bad at math?
Always have been.
Okay, yeah. So which then you're blessed with a great radio voice, right? And so what if you're really bad at math? And what if you're really bad at tests? I don't think I've ever actually told the listening audience this, so I'll share a little bit about myself real briefly. When I went to law school at the age of 38, I hadn't been in school for almost 15 years. So I went back to school, had to finish my four-year degree, finished that in 18 months, and then went to law school. And my first term in law school, I got only C's. And I looked at that and I go, there is no way I'm a C student. Mm. I virtually got straight A's in the 18 months, taking over 20 credits a term to finish out my bachelor's. Mm-hmm. And now I go to law school and I'm getting straight C's. Long story short, it was recommended that I go and sit down with a counselor and try to figure out what was going on. Again, a long story short, it turns out that in stressful situations, I had a learning disability. And I didn't know this until I was 38. But once I recognized this, I look backwards and you go, and the light comes on. You know, have you ever had one of those moments where you go, oh, that's what's going on?
Wow.
And my reading skills went from a graduate level down to a seventh grade level when I was in stress. Now, by God's grace, with wisdom and understanding, I believe that I have overcome that and that I have matured out of that. And I worked on being able to correct that issue. But what if somebody has, like I did, anxiety in stressful situations? You think they're going to answer these questions well?
Yeah.
And so there's limitations when there is a test in front of us. What if English is not your second language and you have never heard the phrase no ifs, ands, or buts?
Yeah.
And I think that almost all the medical community is sensitive to those issues, which is why there's a sliding scale on this test. But the point is that I want to make is that if we rely only upon a medical test for incapacitation, is that the place that we want to be? And do we want that particular test to then shift over and then become the reason why we give up control. The reason why someone, i.e. a doctor, is writing a note that says, now someone else has to manage your finances.
Now or put you in an institution or...
Whatever the case may or may not be.
Pretty serious.
Yeah. So now, if you're in that situation, which a lot of people oftentimes are, now they start fighting. Now they start pushing against the grain, and they're fighting for their independence because they didn't answer a particular test quite right. And so, and I've seen this many times.
So you can prepare for this scenario with the right kind of documents.
That's correct.
In the state planning.
And that's, mm-hmm. that is again the call, which is mm-hmm. we can set up a different, smoother, family-orientated way instead of just a doctor-driven test that says, I need assistance. And when that happens, people are far more willing to go ahead and turn things over to whoever they have named and bring in that assistance, which will ultimately be in their best interest. So again, this test is not against doctors. It is not an accusation that they're not trying to do what's in your best interest. Actually, they really, really are. But they have a limited scope based upon sure. their experience sure. and based upon what's in front of them versus a long-term relationship. We'll get sure. back to that right after break.
Okay, time for a break. And people are intrigued, though, by this subject. They know they need some estate planning to prepare for disabilities or incapacities that might come along at any stage of life. People need help. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website. It's legacyandfaith.com. That's legacyandfaith.com. We have podcasts. We have ways to click communicate with us. We'd love to hear from you. How are we influencing you with this show? Can we assist you? Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show this week, looking at some of the difficult discussions we need to have with ourselves, perhaps with family, about disability, incapacity, who's in charge if we find ourselves in one of these conditions. And moving on to the question now, who makes that determination that you are indeed incapacitated, Paul?
And that'll really come back to your documents again. So number one, do you have anything that demonstrates or that we can lean upon that gives us a clear definition? And if there is a document that gives us that clarity, then we will rest upon that document. Now, the difficulty is that if we don't have a document, then now we're going to lean upon the law. And if we talk about the terms of law, really what we're talking about oftentimes is heading to court to get a judge to tell us what to do. And that is long, it takes time, and it is not cheap. So if you ever thought getting estate planning done properly was expensive, try not having any estate planning and needing a guardian over you. Mm-hmm. And the bill that attorneys are going to charge to get a guardianship around you because we didn't make the decisions. And so, again, that's a call. Let's get this done. If you've waited this long, or if your documents are more than 3 years old, you need to have them reviewed. There have been distinct changes in the Power of Attorney Act in Washington State three years ago. So therefore, we need to review the documents to ensure they are currently going to be of the same quality and nature that you think that they are. Look, estate planning documents wear out. Everything in this life needs to be cared for. You need to give it attention. Some things more often than other things. So I change the oil in my car far more often than I change the shingles on my roof. But I give attention to both of those things on a regular basis. So I have somebody go up on my roof every year and check it out and clean out my gutters to make sure that because if I get leaves in there, then water's going to back up. It's going to slip underneath the shingles and bad stuff, right? So
I think that's going on right now with my roof.
Oh, very good. Excellent. Well, it's a good time of year to get it done, right? The leaves have been falling, so now it's time to get up there and clear them out.
Okay.
And that was just free advice in areas that I barely know anything about. So now everything needs your attention. Everything needs to be addressed and looked at. From an estate planning perspective, 3 years. If you have not had your estate plan reviewed in 3 years, then it's time. It's time right now. And the reason why 3 years, because I have talked to banks and almost to every single bank that I've ever talked to, when I first moved back to Seattle and opened up my law office, I must have gone to 20 different banks or more and said, what is the oldest power of attorney that you want to deal with? And almost every single one of them said 3 years or less. So they want a new signature. They want new ink on those documents. If you try to use a power of attorney from 1993, you are going to have a heck of a time. Actually, you're not going to have a heck of a time because you're probably not in the throes of it. Your family is going to have a heck of a time because it's the one who is trying to use that document to assist you. They're the ones that you are putting at risk and jeopardy now. And because they're at risk and jeopardy or slowing down or banks refuse to use it or they have to send it to their legal counsel, quote unquote, which they don't have, then you are slowing down the process of you being taken care of. So you need to have things redone every 3 years. All right. So number one, who makes the decision? The documents. It's amazing I was able to come say all of that and come right back to the question that you asked, wasn't it? And let me tell you a story here real quick in answer of this question. Who makes the determination that you are incapacitated? I've been married for 27 and a half years, and I've said this on the radio before, which is there is nobody who knows me better on the face of the earth right now than my lovely wife. Absolutely no one. Both my parents are alive. I have three siblings. Good relationships with them. I have friends that I see all the time. I have people who work with me on a daily basis. There is nobody who knows me like my wife. Absolutely nobody. Actually, not even in the same ballpark. Not even close. So, number one, we talked about the doctor's test earlier. So now this is going to be a little bit more towards this question is, if my wife knows me the best and my documents say, if a doctor or if two doctors examine me and the doctors are to make the determination of whether or not I am able to manage my financial affairs. And if the doctor determines that I am unable to do that, then I am incapacitated. Whose voice have I just left out of that whole scenario?
Yeah, your wife.
My wife
knows you better than anybody.
Knows me better than anybody. Mm-hmm. Now, she can choose the doctor. She can go get a second opinion. So if she's empowered through the document to be my healthcare advocate or my my financial power of attorney agent, she can go get different opinions. But would her opinion actually matter in that decision? Mm-hmm. So I have a phrase that says, well, she out of anybody would know if me running around the backyard in my underwear is normal or not normal for Paul Grant. And we all hope that it's not normal because I live in the city. If you live in the country, you've got 5 acres. So if you have more than 5 acres, it becomes normal, but not if you have under 5 acres. I have under 5 acres and I'm in the city. It's not normal. So therefore, is my wife going to see that Paul Grant is having problems long before any doctor? Is my wife going to be cued in on Paul is making decisions that are different? Paul can't remember where he put his car keys. Paul can't remember that he had an appointment. Now, fortunately, all those are false, people. So you can still use me. You can still call me. Have confidence. But you understand the point, which is my wife is the one. And so can we create a document where my family is involved in the decision? The answer, absolutely yes. Do you know how many documents I have ever seen that use family as a part of the decision-making process? Mark, take a guess. How many documents have I ever seen?
I would think they'd all say that.
And you would be 100% exactly opposite wrong.
Really?
There is not a document I've ever reviewed that doesn't say doctors make the determination of incapacity instead of a spouse or family members. Mm. Does that bother me? Bothers me greatly. So these are the things that we need to talk about. These are the things that we need to ensure are around you to promote your safety and to make sure that you are going to be well taken care of in any decision, in any life circumstance, because the longer we live, the greater the statistic is that we will have a need to use these documents. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. I'd love to meet with you. There's podcasts. There's a way to communicate with me. Tell me how I'm doing and how I'm influencing your life. Would love to hear from you. And educational things coming up. Head over to legacyandfaith.com. This is too important to not contact us.
Always great information on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.